starting at 7:30 p.m. at Lobby H of Domino's Farms. For more information, go to hearttoheartcwa.com.
Fire on the Earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. I hope you had a wonderful and restful weekend, an opportunity to have a day of rest in the Lord and celebrate the Lord's Day together. What I'd like to do this week is take a look at St. Francis of Assisi. Since Pope Francis was elected Pope, the life of St. Francis seems to be out there in the public once again because how much Pope Francis loved him. He, not long ago, just a few weeks back, he went to Assisi on the feast day of St. Francis of Assisi, and he spoke so eloquently about him and talked about his great love for the great saint. And many spiritual writers over the years, or people reflecting on the lives of the saints, have said St. Francis may have been the greatest saint the world has ever seen, the church has ever produced, and the Lord's ever produced in his church. Extraordinary power, extraordinary conformity to the person of Jesus Christ, radical holiness, impacting the church, transforming the church just because of his holiness. And I often find, though, that there's lots of misconception about who St. Francis is. Everybody seems to have their own image of him. And today, of course, he's raised up as like the ultimate environmentalist. He's like a hero for PETA, you know, that because of his love for animals and the rest of it. Then there's this line that often gets attributed to St. Francis that I've never been able to find in contacting a number of years ago some of my friends at Franciscan University, some of the professors there, said, could you find a line where Francis supposedly says, evangelize and if necessary use words? And they wrote me back and said they've did word searches and couldn't find it. And so I went and got a hold of, by their recommendation, the omnibus of sources on the whole life of St. Francis, which includes the few writings that are attributed directly to St. Francis, and then the biographies of Thomas of Celano, who was a contemporary and a Franciscan and followed Francis, was part of the band of brothers, and St. Bonaventure wrote a fantastic biography of Francis. Just by the way, I would recommend, if you want to be inspired and challenged and moved and your mind expanded, your heart expanded to what's possible, even in this world, to be able to be conformed to Christ and to have the heavens opened and have the light of God shine through you, read the life of St. Francis, the biography by Thomas of Celano or by St. Bonaventure. They will inspire you very, very much, and I encourage you to take a look at them. But anyway, so I read through most of the omnibus of sources and could not find the line where Francis supposedly had said that. The reason I'm interested in it is because it often gets quoted by Catholics as if that's somehow Francis's ideal. He said, if evangelize and if necessary use words, that somehow to use words is not something that Francis preferred to do or that he did very much. And that really just the witness of life. So people take that as an exhortation to say, well, what really matters is how you live. And that it's better to just live well and to model Christianity than to speak about it. And there's a kind of contrast that's made. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Francis loved to preach all the time. He sent his brothers out to preach. And God used him powerfully. And he knew that faith comes through hearing. And what's heard is the word of God. But also, it is true that Francis was radically committed to conforming his life and the life of the brothers to Jesus Christ, and to make his life a song, to make his life a testimony and a constant witness to the love and the mercy of God, and offer his body, as Scripture says, as a living sacrifice to God. And he did that. And there's no doubt that the radical witness of his life was a beautiful and a powerful testimony, and it gave credibility and strength in his preaching and teaching. What I'd like to do is just reflect today and this week on some of the teaching of St. Francis, some of what was written about him in the official biography by Thomas of Celano, to describe it, and so that we can reflect on what God can do and what God did in Francis and the teaching that might be there for each and every one of us. And I hope it's encouraging, and I hope it's challenging and inspiring and calls you to holiness, because that's exactly what Francis was all about. I want to begin with a section from chapter 15 from Thomas of Celano's biography. He's describing how the Lord used Francis to lead people to conversion, and the unique way, he's just trying to use adjectives to describe how profoundly the light of Christ was shining through him. But here we go. It's chapter 15, paragraph 36. "At Francis, therefore, Christ's valiant knight, went round the cities and fortresses proclaiming the kingdom of God, preaching peace teaching salvation and repentance for the remission of sins, not with plausible words of human wisdom, but with the learning and power of the Spirit. The description here by Thomas of Celano of the content of the message. First, he said, Francis went about everywhere. He went to the cities, the fortresses, and like a great and valiant knight. And he loved to see himself as a soldier for Christ and as to be representing the kingdom and to talk about the king. He was consumed with love for Jesus and lived with a vivid picture in his mind and heart, an awareness of the lordship and majesty of Jesus. And so what did he do? He proclaimed the kingdom. St. Francis's life was all about radical and complete imitation of the person of Jesus. And Jesus was sent. Jesus said, for this purpose I've come, to proclaim the kingdom of God and to call people to repentance. So that's what Francis was dialed into. So here Thomas of Celano was saying that he went about proclaiming the kingdom of God and preaching peace. Just like Paul, and just like the Lord, first of all, like the Lord himself and like the apostles, that we're talking about the peace. What kind of peace does he mean? Does he just mean military peace? Is he talking about that kind of peace? He's referring to some of that, but mainly what he's after is proclaiming what Paul and the others proclaim, and that in Christ Jesus, through the shedding of his blood, his passion, his death on the cross, God is offering. Christ is like a peace offering on our behalf. That the hostility that exists between God and man is dealt with through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And those who are separated, those who are divided, those who are far off are brought near. And that's why Jesus said, peace be with you. He brought peace. He brought unity between the fundamental source of a lack of peace, you might say, is what? The division is sin. And the division between God and man. Jesus came to deal with that division and to bring the very peace of God into the human heart. To break the power of that hostility and the power of sin, the power of death, the world and the flesh, to break those powers over the human heart so that we can live in peace, which makes it possible for us to live in unity in the love of God that binds us together. So he proclaimed the kingdom, he preached peace, he taught about salvation, and he taught about repentance for the remission of sins. We talked periodically on the program of St. Peter's famous proclamation from Acts chapter 2 as he came out of the upper room on Pentecost, the very first pope preaching the very first public message. And what does he say? That he calls people to repentance after he declares that Jesus Christ is Lord and Christ, that he's Lord and Christ, and now he's now reigning at the right hand of God. Now is the time, Peter said, that it's time to repent, to change the direction of our lives and acknowledge what God has done in Jesus, his son, and his lordship, and repent, to change our hearts, to turn toward God. And he said, then you will be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. This was constantly in the preaching of St. Francis, a call to repentance for the forgiveness of sins, to enter into salvation, into the life of the church. And we'll talk later about, he constantly emphasized the importance of this, and then ultimately preparing us to be able to receive the Lord in the Eucharist, which is front and center for him. And he said, but he did this not with plausible words of wisdom, but with learning and power of the Spirit of God. And that's what St. Paul talked about. Remember the beautiful passage in Paul where he said, I came among you with fear and trembling, but my gospel came to you with a demonstration of the Spirit in power. Not with worldly wisdom, not with eloquence, so that your faith would depend on me, but instead that your faith would depend on God and God's action. That's exactly how St. Francis understood his life. He understood that he was being launched by the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring people to conversion. Thomas of Celano goes on. He said, the apostolic authority which had been granted him enabled him to act in all things with great confidence, without using flattery or seducing blandishments. It's very important. He was anointed and called by God, and he knew it. And he was, as a result, not impressed by men. And one of the constant themes of St. Francis was that for each one of us, that all that we glory in the world is going to pass away. And he'd say that what man is before God, that he is and nothing else. He said it again and again. What man is before God, that he is, and nothing else. He was not impressed by riches. He was not impressed by power. He was not impressed by people of influence or popularity, because he knew all of us stood ultimately, and we'll read it later this week, in judgment before God. And we stand under a curse, and the curse of sin, and that we can't take with us our riches and our power. None of it's lasting. It's all passing away. And therefore, he said it's worthless. It's really worthless. And so he understood people as Christ understood people, and he looked into their hearts. Solano goes on, he said, incapable of caressing the faults of certain men, he could pierce them. Incapable of showing favor to the lives of sinners, he would smite them with sharp reproof, because he had first persuaded himself by practice of that which he endeavored to commend to others by his words. And without fear of any reprover, he uttered the truth most confidently, so that even the most learned men, mighty and renowned in dignity, wondered at his discourses and were smitten by his presence with wholesome fear. Men ran, women too ran, clerks hastened, and religious made speed to see and hear the saint of God, who seemed to all to be a man of another world. People of every age and either sex hastened to behold the wonders which the Lord was newly working in the world by his servant. Surely at that time, whether by Holy Francis' presence or by the fame of him, it seemed that, as it were, a new light had been sent from heaven on earth, scattering the universal blackness of darkness which has so seized on well nigh the whole of that region, that scarce anyone knew whither he must go. For such depth of forgetfulness of God and such slumber of neglect of his commandments had oppressed almost all, that they could scarce endure to be roused, even slightly, from their old and inveterate sins. And so Thomas is describing here the picture that God raised up Francis at a time when the church was in trouble, when the people, baptized people, non-baptized, given over to the life of sin. They weren't living the commandments, were not even paying attention to God. And darkness had set in so many ways. They were gripped by sin. And he'll talk later about the world, the flesh, and the devil. But here's holding people, and here's Francis, this light of Christ. I love the description that he says, a new light had been sent from heaven on earth, scattering the universal blackness of darkness, which has so seized upon all in the region. Friends, we're living, I think, at a time where the darkness is setting in more and more. As God gets, in the words of Pope Benedict XVI, as God is pushed from the margins, to the margins of society, from man's horizon, the light which is from God goes away. And man chooses darkness. And what the world needs now, friends, is radical holiness. What the church most needs in the new evangelization is saints, is radical holiness, is people willing, like Francis, to be consumed with God and the vision, God's vision of reality, and the heart falling passionately in love with Jesus Christ and his mission. We'll take up more of some of the key themes from the biographies of Francis, but also some of his actual writing we'll look at tomorrow. Hope you can tune in. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbig, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you my new booklet called Welcome the Spiritual Gifts. I wrote the booklet in response to a series of radio programs I did this past year on spiritual gifts. And the big response to the program made it clear that lots of people, lots of Catholics and others, don't understand too much about the spiritual gifts. In this short booklet is the basic Catholic understanding about spiritual gifts. It's yours, free for the asking. Just call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.